You would turn with me this evening to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 29. Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'd like to focus our thoughts this evening on verse 32, where the Lord tells the disciples, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. The lesson the Lord has been teaching the disciples up to this point is that they were not to take thought of the things of tomorrow, but rather they were to take thought of things today. The Lord would tell in Matthew chapter 6, sufficient of the day is the evil thereof, meaning we have all the problems we can deal with today without considering what's going to come tomorrow. We have grace for today, we'll have grace for tomorrow. That's why the Lord tells in Matthew 6 also, we're to pray to God that he would give us this day our daily bread. The children of Israel, they went out daily to collect manna. If they collected more than one day's worth, it would rot in the nighttime, except on the sixth day they could collect for the Sabbath, and that would be spared for the next day. That taught them that they were to daily trust the Lord to provide their needs. They weren't to be too concerned with future events, but be concerned with the day that they were living in right then. Now, I realize that we must make some preparations for future times. I wouldn't encourage you to take no thought whatsoever for things in the future. However, we should not let the future concern us to the point we're not able to enjoy the Lord's blessings today. There are some people that are so consumed with worry about what's going to come tomorrow, they can't enjoy what the Lord's provided them right now. I certainly want to enjoy the Lord's blessings right now. We're a highly blessed people, and we ought to enjoy the blessings today, not worry about evil that might come tomorrow, because the same God that's with us today will be with us tomorrow. The same God that's been faithful yesterday and today will be faithful in the things that will come in future times. The Lord will tell the disciples that they were to consider the ravens, how they didn't have barns and they didn't have storehouses, they didn't plant, but yet God provided for them. He says, you're much better than ravens. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to die for ravens. He came to die for you. And you're certainly far greater in his mind than the ravens are. But yet, since he even takes care of the ravens, and the Bible even says not one bird or sparrow can fall without the Father, meaning the Lord is watching and knowledgeable of what's taking place, the Lord cares for us also. He tells us to consider the lilies, how they grow. They spin not, neither do they toil, yet they are arrayed in more glorious apparel than even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed. He says, don't take thought for food or raiment. The body is more than food, and it's more than meat, it's more than raiment. Those are just simply things that help us along in life. They're really not the thing we're to be concerned with. And God, who's provided us life, is certainly going to provide for us the things we stand in need of to live in this life. He says, rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Our focus is to serve the Lord, to have our mind set on the things that God has required of us, to keep our focus on coming to the Lord's house, to hear the Lord's word, to experience the Lord's grace, that we'll have the Lord's power to go out and live in the Lord's service day by day. He says, seek not what ye shall drink or what ye shall drink, eat or drink, neither be a doubtful mind. That means don't continually speculate about things that are come in future times, but rather enjoy the Lord's blessings today. Notice what he says in, fear not, little flock. Fear not. Don't be afraid. You know, I recognize there's a lot in this world that's frightful. There's a lot of things that go on around us that if we stop and consider those things for too much time, we would be consumed with worry and fear. I recognize that over the past few years, we've gone through this great recession, they call it, and it has been a fearful time. We don't know if our jobs will be here today or tomorrow. We don't know if we'll be able next month to pay the mortgage payment or pay the gas bill, pay the grocery bill. We don't really know what's going to take place. We don't know what's going to happen with the price of oil or what's going to happen to the value of our dollar. There's a lot of things economically that if we look on the things coming around us, it would cause us a lot of fear. We don't know what's going to happen with our health. We watch friends around us whose bodies began to decay, and we began to consider our own health. And oftentimes we could become afraid for the things that are coming to us naturally as our bodies are concerned. Sometimes when we see the health and condition of our churches even, we might become afraid, not knowing what's going to happen to the old Baptist people in future times. But here the Lord tells his disciples, who likewise lived in a very fearful time. Here they were, Jews who had forsaken what the religious elite of that day thought was right. They've forsaken those things to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, just as that man we talked about last night. Here they'd forsaken that thing and put out of the fellowship of their own countrymen, and here they were about to lose their Savior, the one who's their leader, because he's going to go back to heaven, and they would be left alone except with the Comforter. It was a very fearful time for them. They didn't know what all would transpire in their future journeys, but the Lord says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is encouraging to know that the kingdom has been given to us. We're experiencing it right now. We have been given, granted by God's blessing, the kingdom of God here upon the face of the earth. Here we're assembled in God's kingdom right now. It's been given to us. He says we're not to be afraid. Why? Because we're in the kingdom of God. I love that every time in the scriptures that God tells his people to fear not, he backs it up with a good reason why we're not to be afraid. I could tell you, don't fear. But I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen even by the end of this discourse. I can't really tell you, don't be afraid, other than what the scriptures say. But based on the scriptures, I know we're not to be afraid. You see, now I'd like to look at several instances where the Lord tells his people to fear not, and the why we should not fear. Here in Luke chapter 12, we're told to fear not because it's our Father's good pleasure to give to us the kingdom. God has blessed us here in this world. He's called us out by his grace, collected us together into his house, and provided us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we know we have been delivered, and we shall yet be delivered by his power and not our own. Having that knowledge should cause our minds to be settled and cause us to be at peace. We turn to Genesis chapter 15. We find an occasion where God comes to Abraham and tells him to fear not. We find in Genesis chapter 14 that his nephew Lot has found himself in great trouble. In Genesis 14, Lot, who's living in Sodom, you'll find the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah go to war, and in the midst of that, you'll find that Lot is taken captive. And we find Abraham goes to rescue his nephew Lot. We'll find several times the Lord blesses Abraham to be Lot's rescuer. He has to get him out of trouble here as he's taken captive. Finally, later in Genesis 19, God shows Abraham what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah and tells Abraham so that Lot could be rescued out of that city before God destroyed it. Well, so Abraham goes and he collects Lot out of his imprisonment and takes him and settles him. And now he goes back to his own place. It says, after these things, after he had rescued Lot, and by the way, also encountered Melchizedek, the king of Salem, here God tells him in Genesis 15:1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram. He says, this is why you're not to be afraid. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's an encouraging verse. He tells Abraham, don't be afraid. Abraham might say, well, Lord, why should I not be afraid? Well, God gives him the reason why he's not to be afraid. He says, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield, and I'm also thy exceeding great reward. That means, first of all, God is our protection. God is our shield. He stands before us, and the Bible says he's before us. He's also our rearer. That means God is before us, and God is behind us. And if that's not enough, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. That means that we, the people of God, have God's protection before, God's protection behind, and all the way around us. There's not one angle that we're not under the protection of God. He says, I am thy shield. I am your protection. That's a far better shield than even the defense of the United States of America, to know that God is on our side and God is our shield. We find in Psalm chapter 3 in the third verse when David was running from Absalom, a very scary time. Here Absalom was seeking David's life so he could assume the throne. We find that David actually has to leave the city of the capital, leave his own palace, leave his own home because of his own son, because of David's own sin. And here he is fleeing. But as he's fleeing, he turns to the Lord and it says that God is his shield. And because God was his shield, he said he would not be afraid of 10,000s. Because God was with him and God would be his protection, he would not be afraid even if 10,000s come against him.
That's why Paul could say, my first answer, no man stood with me, but Paul didn't stop. Paul kept going because the Lord stood by him. Because the Lord was with him, he knew God would be his protection, and he went forward. So here God tells Abraham, fear not. And he said, this is why you're not to be afraid. I am thy shield. I can tell you tonight, you shouldn't be afraid either. I shouldn't be afraid because number one, God is our shield. That means whatever advances the wicked might make against us, we have a shield, and that shield is God himself. He will preserve us to the heavenly kingdom. We shall make it to the other side. There's nothing that's going to prevent us from finally being with the Lord. And having that knowledge ought to settle our hearts with peace and give us the encouragement we need to press on even in dangerous times. But I like what he goes on to say. Not only does he say, I'm your shield or I'm your protection, he also says, I am thy exceeding great reward. You know, a good reward's good. A great reward's better. But here God says, I am thy exceeding great reward. Kind of reminds me of that verse in Ephesians chapter 3, where God tells, where the Apostle Paul says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm glad to know that we serve a God that's able to do even above or exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even what we can think. That's the God that we serve. He does far greater things than we could even conjure in our own minds. He tells Abraham, first of all, I am your shield, I'm your protection, but I'm also your blessing. I am thy exceeding great reward. He doesn't say, I'll give you a great reward. He says, I am the great reward. I am the blessing, and we shall be with the blessing forever and ever, because there's coming a day we'll actually behold the face of God, and we'll know fully what is that exceeding great reward when we behold the face of our master. He says, I am. Not I'll give you, but I am your exceeding great reward. That was an encouragement to Abraham. It ought to be an encouragement to you and me to know that God is first of all our protection, but he's also our blessing. To know that the Lord will be with us and defend us, and the Lord will likewise bless us. The Lord will be with us in our troubles and ultimately will take us home to be with him forever and ever. In times of doubting, in times of fear, we ought to remember what the Lord said, fear not, little flock. It's our Father's good pleasure to give to us the kingdom. And we ought to remember what he said to Abraham, fear not, for I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. We find in Genesis chapter 26 that he talks to his servant Isaac. Abraham's son Isaac is experiencing a famine in the land, the promised land, and he goes down to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. However, he's there for a time, and then he's going to come back home. And as he comes back home, he begins to dig some of the old wells that his father had dug. But however, we'll find that various ones will come against him, every well that he digs, and take those wells from him. So finally, he'll dig another, dig another, dig another, till finally he settles in a place and digs a well. It says in verse 24, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. Well, why shouldn't you fear, Isaac? He says, fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. That's an encouragement to Isaac. It ought to be an encouragement to us. Notice again what he says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. That's a good encouragement, is it not? To know that we're not alone, that the Bible is clear, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that God will be with us no matter what troubles we experience, no matter where we are located, no matter what experience we're going through, the Lord will be with us. David said himself in Psalm 139 that even if he made his bed in hell, lo, thou art there. There was no place that David could go to escape from the presence of God. I don't care if you're in Nashville, Florida, West Texas, wherever you go, you're still going to have the Lord's presence with you. It doesn't matter if you're in the best of place or the worst of place, God is with us. That ought to cause our minds to be settled, to know the Lord will be with us no matter what it is that we experience, no matter where we are, no matter what trouble we're going through. That's what he tells Isaac, and it encouraged Isaac to know that God was with him. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee. It's good to know that we serve a God who's a God of blessing. I know he's a God of judgment. He's a God of truth. He's a God of holiness, no doubt. But I'm thankful he's also a God of blessing. And he's a God that stays by his people. He's faithful. You know, I'm thankful for faithful husbands and wives who are faithful one to another. I'm thankful for faithful pastors. I'm thankful for faithful deacons and faithful church members. I love to serve a church of faithful people. I want everybody I serve, and I want myself to be a faithful individual. The Lord Jesus Christ, one of his name, according to the book of Revelation, is faithful, and I want to be like him. We ought to emulate him and simply be faithful. Well, that's what God says he'll be. He says, I'll be with thee. No matter what goes on, I'll be with you. That means I'll be faithful to you, even when we're not faithful to him. I'm thankful to know his faithfulness is not dependent upon my faithfulness. I'm thankful he's faithful even when I'm not faithful. And he'll be with us even when we don't want to be with him. Now, there are times we may not experience his presence in a manifest way, in a way we can feel, but we can know no matter what experience we're going through, the Lord is with us. And that ought to cause our minds to be at peace. That's what he tells Isaac, fear not. Well, why not? For I am with thee and I will bless thee. We find in Genesis chapter 46 that God will tell Jacob to fear not. Jacob's had a rough experience by this time. As you know, God blesses Jacob with 12 sons. However, one of those sons is sold into captivity by his own brothers. That son, of course, is Joseph, whom Jacob loved more than the rest. Remember, he gave him a coat of many colors, and he was the favored child. He loved him above the others. And it, of course, caused envy among his brothers. That always happens. Parents don't have a favorite child, because when you have a favorite child, the other children will be envious against that child, and it'll cause friction in your household. Jacob should not have favored Joseph above the rest, but he did. But the time comes that Jacob is sold into captivity, finally goes down into Egypt, blessed to go up into Potiphar's house because the Lord was with him. Later will be cast into prison, is raised up in the prison house because the Lord was with him. And eventually, of course, will be elevated to be second in command over all of Egypt. However, as far as Jacob knows, Joseph is dead, being torn up by a wild beast. And for years and years, Jacob was convinced that his son was dead. However, you know the story. The great famine came throughout all the land, and Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt. So he sends his sons down to Egypt to buy corn. They go the first trip, and finally the second trip. The second trip, it was revealed that their brother Joseph was still alive. Joseph wanted to see his daddy, and so he sends back home for Jacob to go to Egypt. Well, you'll find that Abraham went to Egypt, and Egypt caused Abraham trouble. Obviously, Jacob heard a little bit about that, and so Jacob, he's going to go to Egypt to see his son. Because we find in Genesis chapter 45, when he sees the wagons come, he says, it's enough. In other words, that was enough evidence that his son was alive, and he was satisfied with that, and he was ready to go down and see his son. But obviously, we're going to find in Genesis 46 that he's somewhat concerned about going to Egypt. Notice what God says to him. He says to him in verse 3, he says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. He says, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. In other words, God is telling Jacob, you go down there, you're going to see your son. It's going to be a blessed time. There's going to be a wonderful reunion. In fact, we'll finally see that Jacob goes down there and meets Joseph and also finds out he's got two grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he tells Joseph, he had thought not to see him alive. Lo, God has shown me thy seed. He didn't ever think to see Joseph again. Here he gets to see Joseph and two grandchildren he didn't even know he had. He says, Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. But notice what he says, fear not, because I will go with thee into Egypt. I'll go with you down there, and I will surely bring thee up again. That's good to know. He's letting Jacob know, wherever you go, I'll be with you. It doesn't matter if you're in the land of Canaan or if you're in the land of Egypt. I'm going to go with you, and by the way, I'm going to make of you a great nation down there, and I'll surely bring thee up again. The day comes, of course, that Jacob dies, and his sons take him up out of Egypt. They take him back to the cave of Machpelah, and there he was buried with his father Isaac and his granddaddy Abraham. But we'll find several hundred years later that all the children of Israel, even the bones of Joseph, shall come up by God's mighty hand out of the land of Egypt, and they had been made a mighty nation. God promised Jacob something, and he fulfilled the promise. He tells him, fear not, for I am with thee. That's encouraging to know the Lord's with us. The Lord will be with us whether we're in the land of promise or whether we're in the land of sin, the land of Egypt. And there's times that you and I are in the land of Egypt, the land of darkness, the land of discouragement. Have you not been there? I've been there. I've also been in the land of Canaan. I'd much rather be in Canaan than Egypt, I promise you that. But I'm glad to know whether in Canaan or Egypt or the wilderness in between, the Lord is with us. The Lord will be with us. The Lord protect us. And God will be our exceeding great reward. And because of that, we should not be afraid. You'll find in the case of Joshua in chapter 1, the time comes that Moses dies. And Joshua has the authority and the responsibility now to lead the children of Israel after that great man Moses. Remember what God tells him? He says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. He says, I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. That was a great encouragement to Joshua. To fill the shoes that Moses filled was a hard job. But God tells him, whithersoever you go, I'll be with you. Be not afraid. And we see there in Joshua chapter 6 that God blesses him and the children of Israel to overcome the city of Jericho, and those walls fell down flat and they went into Jericho. You'll find later they overcome the city of Ai, and many other cities are conquered because God was with Joshua just as God promised he would be. He says, I'll be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be not afraid. That's good encouragement to know God will be with us whithersoever we go. God is our shield, our exceeding great reward. He told, of course, Isaac that he would be with him and bless him. He tells Jacob, I'll be with you as you go down to Egypt and I'll bring you up again. That's great encouragement to know that we shouldn't be afraid because God is with us too. We turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament, and we'll find there's a great man by the name of Zacharias who's in the temple doing his job. And you'll find an angel comes to him and says the same words to him. Of course, Zacharias is a husband of Elizabeth, and they'll become the father of John the Baptist. We see in Luke chapter 1, in verse 12, it says, when Zacharias saw the angel, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Notice what the angel says. The angel says to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. That's a good thing to know also, that God tells his people, don't be afraid, because your prayer is heard. There's times I don't think that my prayers are heard, but the Bible is clear that God's ear is open to the cries of his people. God looks upon the needs of his people. His ear is open to our cry. I'm thankful to know that God hears our prayers. That's what he tells Zacharias. Fear not. Why? Because thy prayer is heard. That ought to encourage us also that we should not be afraid. Why? Because God hears our prayers. That when we speak to the Master in heaven, he hears the things that we say. And the Bible is clear that when we seek, we shall find. We ask, it shall be answered. When we knock, it shall be opened. It's good to know that God hears our cries and he attends to the needs that we have, and he answers us and blesses us with what we stand in need of. He tells Zacharias, fear not, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Here they were, old people by this time, never expecting by this point to have a child, but God blesses them with a son. That son will be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the messenger, the announcer that Jesus Christ had come to the world. Talk about a great answer to prayer. He says, thy prayer is heard. In other words, I've answered your prayer. And here's the answer. Your wife, she's conceived. Your wife shall bear thee a son. Call his name John. We find the same chapter. It says the Lord comes to the Virgin Mary in the form of Gabriel the angel. He sent to her. You know what he tells her? He tells her, fear not, Mary. Why not? He says, for thou art favored, or thou hast found favor with God. You know, I'm thankful as the elect of God, we have found favor with the Lord, and we should not be afraid. That's what he tells Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Well, you belong to the Lord also. The Bible tells us, Romans chapter 8, if he gave a son for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That means we found favor with the Lord. We found favor with the Lord before this world ever began. We found favor with him in that he elected us. He chose us. He set us apart. And then he showed that love abundantly when he sent forth his son to come into this world and to die for us. He shows that love abundantly and shows that we are favored with him when the Holy Ghost regenerates us and gives gives us divine and eternal life. He shows us we found favor with him when he shows us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're assembled together in the kingdom of God. That shows that we have found favor with God. Here he says, fear not, thou hast found favor with God. What a great encouragement to know that we have favor with the Lord, and we should not be afraid to know that we have one in heaven that's more powerful than any other. Psalm 115 says, our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased. This is the God we have found favor with. And no wonder Gabriel could say, fear not, thou hast found favor with God. We find in the book of Luke chapter 8, a man by the name of Jairus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ because he has a daughter that's sick. She's about 12 years of age. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and begs the Lord to help his daughter. And the Lord begins to journey towards that man's daughter, but another woman comes in who's had an issue of blood for 12 years. Interesting that a woman had a disease 12 years and this man had a daughter who was 12 years old. That woman experienced the trouble of this disease for the same length of time that man had enjoyed the blessings of that daughter. I don't know about you, but I'd have been very upset with the Lord when the Lord tarried to help that woman. If I had somebody at home in great need, I wouldn't want the Lord stopping to help somebody else. I'd want the Lord to focus on my needs right now. But we likewise ought to be focused on the needs of others, be patient, wait on the Lord, and know the Lord knows the right time to do all things. Here, Jairus will learn the lesson. But they come to Jairus as he's waiting. He seems to wait patiently. He doesn't say much against the Lord. I would have. But we find they come and tell him his daughter's dead. And you know what they tell him? Trouble not the master. You know, that's exactly when we ought to trouble the master. When we have need, we ought to trouble the master. That's what Jacob did that night before he met Esau. Remember there he wrestled alone with an angel or with a man? He wrestled all night long. You know what he's doing? He was troubling the Lord. He was going to God with the need he had. The need he had was he was about to meet a brother. The last thing he knew of his brother wanted to murder him. And so he goes to the Lord and wrestles with the Lord all night long. He troubled the master. And finally the Lord says, let me go. He says, I'll not let you go except thou bless me. Except you bless me, I'm not let you go. Trouble the master. They told him, trouble not the master. I tell you, trouble the master. Because we have a master who will stand still. We have a master who will have compassion on us. We have a master who's concerned with us. The master stood still for a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. He stood still for her, had compassion on her. But why stood still? Another young girl died. But of course, the Lord had a purpose. The Lord knew what he's doing. The Lord was not surprised by the news that this young girl had died. You know what he tells him? He says, fear not. Luke chapter 8, verse 50, fear not. You know what then it says? Believe only. What an encouragement. Believe only. That man had showed great faith in coming to the Lord to begin with. He knew the Lord was the only one that could help him and help his daughter, so he came to the Lord. Then they say, trouble not the master, but he continued to trouble the master. He didn't listen to the naysayers. He continued to beseech the Lord. And the Lord tells him, fear not. Don't be afraid. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And of course, the Lord takes that man home, goes in the room, and raises that young girl back to life. The Lord blessed that man and blessed that man for his faith. Here, this man believed, and the Lord blessed him for it. Fear not, he says, believe only, and she shall be made whole. We find an occasion in Acts chapter 27 where the Apostle Paul is on the trip of a lifetime. We find the Apostle Paul is heading back to Rome. As you know, he's been arrested at Jerusalem. They drummed up charges against him, saying that he took a Gentile into the Lord's house, which he didn't do. They just assumed he had, and they were looking for reason to arrest him. Well, Paul, as you know, had to go down to Caesarea to avoid being put to death. And finally, where he's there at Caesarea, you'll find that the governor wants to send him back to Jerusalem and let the Jews handle the Apostle Paul. And Paul knew that meant his death. And so Paul says, I appeal to Caesar. You'll find Agrippa comes down the scene, and Agrippa's willing to let Paul go, except he had appealed to Caesar. So to Caesar, he had to go. And you find in Acts chapter 27, they put him on a ship, taking him to Rome. And that was not an enjoyable cruise. I mean, that was not Carnival Cruise Lines the Apostle Paul was on. You'll find that was a horrible experience. Read all of Acts chapter 27. I've told people before, I do not like riding on boats, and Acts 27 is why. I like to be on firm ground. I don't want to be out on no water, especially when a storm comes on. The Bible describes this storm as such that they didn't see sun, moon, or stars for many days. You'll find that they finally even had to put ropes under the boat to help the boat, to gird it, to keep it together, because the boat was about to break apart. The Bible says they were going through a storm called Euroclydon, a great storm beyond what anything I can imagine. Here they are out in a ship with no help whatsoever. And it's amazing how Paul would speak to these people. It says, the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. You know what that Paul's saying? I told you so. Because Paul told them before they began this journey that they should not begin this journey. They ought to just stay where they were. But they didn't listen to Paul. And now Paul, first he says, I'm telling you, you should have listened to me. He says, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to gain this harm and loss. That's just Paul's way of saying, I told you so. I knew better and you didn't listen. But he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Talk about something that sounds foolish. Here they are, hadn't even seen sun or stars for many days, and all hope that they should be saved was lost, and now Paul tells them, be of good cheer. I would have thought, Paul, you're crazy to come before these people and tell them, be of good cheer, but Paul had good reason to say it. He says, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life. There are 276 people on this boat, and Paul says, not one shall be hurt. Not one shall lose their life. He says, but we will lose the ship. Notice what he says. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul had reason to say, be of good cheer and fear not. Why? Because God had told him. God stood by him there that night in an angel. An angel told him, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has also given all them that sail with thee. Paul wasn't just saying, based on his optimism, that we're going to make it through. Paul was saying it based on direct revelation from God, we will make it through. I can tell you from direct revelation of God in his word, we will make it through. I can't tell you that we won't experience trouble, because we will. The Bible says we're troubled on every side. We will experience difficulties, storms, just like he experienced here. But I promise you, we will make it through. We're going to make it to the other side. God tells him, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar. I'm going to make sure you get to the end of this journey. Lastly, I want to look at Revelation chapter 1. We see that John has shown some great visions, and we find in Revelation 1 that he becomes afraid. It says in verse 17, when I saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me. I like that. I remember as a young child, my grandparents raised us. There's times I'd be afraid, and I remember my grandfather laying his hand upon me. And that was simply a reassurance. My grandfather's much stronger than I was. He had much more wisdom, and my grandfather laid his hand upon me. It was a hand of comfort to let me know everything was going to be all right. And as much as I enjoyed the peace that came from that, it's much better when the Lord Jesus Christ lays his right hand upon you, to know that the Lord is with you, his hand's upon you, he'll be with you, and he's going to deliver us from all our troubles. So he laid his right hand upon John, and notice what he says, fear not. Fear not. Why? He says, because I am the first and the last. That means I'm the beginning, I'm the end. I was with you before, and I'll be with you later. I'm with you right now. Notice what he goes on to say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. To know that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive and died and raised the third day ought to cause us to not be afraid, to know that since he passed through death, we likewise shall pass through death, because he is the first and the last. We shall be delivered. To know that he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's taken care of all of it from first to the very last. Not one of us shall be lost. The Bible tells us he, loving his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them from the first, and he loved them all the way to the last. And because of that, we should not be afraid. He being perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He's the author of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the first and he's the last. And by the way, he's carried us all the way through from first to last. And because he's the first and he's the last, and because he was alive and died,
But behold, is alive forevermore. We should not be afraid. He overcame. And because he overcame, we shall also overcome. He says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. May the Lord bless you.